We're in the book of John. How many of you know the 23rd Psalm and can quote it? Good. Somebody stand up and quote it for me. Speak it right out. Amen. 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 All right. Very good. Reason that we did that is because the Lord is taking on a new subject here as he talks to the Pharisees. In chapter 10, he is saying, in essence, I'm the good shepherd. And as we remind ourselves of David's Psalms and how he often talked about the shepherd of the sheep, we are reminded that this Son of God, this Jesus Christ, claims to be the good shepherd over against and contrasting to the bad shepherds. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And so as we go forward this morning, let's bow our heads in prayer and just ask God to show us what he has for us here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each one who is here. Thank you for those who know your word. Thank you, Father, those who know that you are and have provided the good shepherd for us. We are just so grateful for all that you've done. And every day that we live and every day that we walk about, every day that we have, Father, to speak of you and to live it out, we praise your name and we praise your Son's name and lift your Son's name high. May we do that here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to look at two things. There are actually a number that we're going to look at over time, but right now just two. I want to read those verses. Starts out by saying, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. All right, that's the scripture reading for this morning. There's a lot in this scripture that we need to take a look at. You know, it's a wonderful portion on the work of Christ and what he's about to do. The Lord is going to begin now to gather his flock. He's going to begin now to get together the sheep of his choosing. And throughout the Old Testament, God was looked upon as the shepherd of his people. So it's no different with Jesus Christ. In Psalm 22, as the good shepherd, he dies for the sheep. In Psalm 23, which we just heard, the great shepherd. He cares for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a glorious truth. And in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd rewards the sheep. And so we have it in 1 Peter, these words, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory." He rewards the sheep. And Peter speaks to that. Isaiah 40:11, "Like a shepherd he will tend his flock. In his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." In Ezekiel 34 and Zechariah 11, "He pastures his people." What a glorious picture this is. God looks upon himself as the shepherd of his people. He is distinguished in both New Testament and Old Testament. The difference between real shepherds and false shepherds. Ezekiel 34:1-2, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock?" What's your purpose? What's your motivation, shepherd? What is it that you're after? What is it you're accomplishing? What is it you're there to do? And it's in this passage that he warns about the false shepherds who undermine the work of God, who have no care or desire or love for the sheep, just for themselves and just for what they can get out of it. But God loves his sheep, all right? And he cares for them, laying down his life for them. The songs that we sang today about God caring for his people, God loving us, God going ahead of us, God holding our future, all of this relates to the Good Shepherd and who he is and what it is he's accomplished. In John 10 now here, he's going to have a flock. He's going to bring together a small flock. All right? And in chapter 8, the shepherd was cast out of the temple. You remember they were going to kill him. They were going to stone him. They cast him out of the temple. In chapter 9, one of the sheep was cast out. You remember the one that he healed that was born blind, and they cast him out because they couldn't stand have him standing in front of them with the testimony of what Jesus had done. So they cast the sheep out, all right? But now he's going to have a flock, and he's going to take care of them, and he's going to give them abundant life, and he's going to protect them from their enemies. This is what he's going to do. This is what he promised to do. So the Son of God reveals himself here as the true shepherd. He reveals himself as the good shepherd. He reveals himself as the only shepherd. And he reveals himself as the obedient shepherd. And he reveals himself as the faithful shepherd. Now, there's four Sundays worth of sermons. All right? I'm going to talk about two of them today. Just two of them. And we're going to take on the first one. Jesus is the true shepherd, according to the scriptures, as he reveals himself here. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech," John writes, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand the things for which you've been saying to them." These verses reveal Christ as the true shepherd in contrast to the false. All right? This is the only parable that we have in the Gospel of John where they did not understand what he was saying. The only one. So here's the picture. At evening tide, in that land, when the sun went down, all the flocks came into one fold. They were all enclosed for the night. All right? In the morning, the shepherds would come to get their flock. And so what would they do? Well, each shepherd would give his own particular or peculiar call. And then as you watched, you would see a sheep over here, or one over here, or a lamb over here, or an ewe over here. But they would recognize the call as that of their own shepherd. And so they would move through the rest of the sheep and finally come to where they would come to him. And then he would lead them out to the pastures. Then after he was gone, another shepherd would stand up. And he would give his call. And his sheep would start moving and pretty soon be standing in front of him, and he would turn and lead them out to the pasture. But each sheep knew the peculiar call. Each sheep knew the voice of his own shepherd. An amazing thing to see. An amazing thing. People say sheep are dumb. You ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not. We raise sheep. They're not dumb. They're smart. Matter of fact, they're so smart they make humans feel dumb. And the interesting thing about it is, while they will follow their leader anywhere, even off a cliff, they are loyal. They are committed. And they know the voice of their master. And he's talking about his children, God's children. You and me. Are we committed? Do we know his voice when he calls? Do we follow him anywhere? Because we know that he goes in front of us and he provides the pasture for us to feed upon so that our lives will be fruitful and abundant and full. I don't mind being a sheep, do you? You see, it's important that we understand there are all kinds of shepherds. All right? But Jesus is the true shepherd. The Pharisees and the scribes and the priests of the Lord's day, those who were right there, considered themselves to be the leaders and the shepherds of the flock of Israel. But the Lord here is primarily referring to them before him, those same leaders, as the ones who are the false shepherds. Now, why would that be the case? Well, it's very simple. The evidence is in. Chapter 5, we've already studied it. If you remember, a man 38 years infirm, at the pool, 38 years, Jesus raised him from the dead, told him to pick up his bed and walk, remember? Remember the story? Well, they would have rather seen him in his sinful, wretched physical condition by the pool than to have their Sabbath day or their tradition broken. They didn't care about the man. They cared about the tradition. They cared about the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. Why are you carrying your mattress on the Sabbath day? They didn't care about him. So then we go to chapter 8, where they caught a woman in the act of adultery. You remember the story? We've already talked about it. They became her critics and her judges. They didn't come to her as a shepherd caring for the sheep. They wanted to destroy her. And they wanted to destroy Jesus in the process. They did not care. And then again, the man born blind that we just studied, that we just talked about, who had never seen the light of day in his life, and they had no care for him, and they cast him out of the temple. These are the false shepherds. These are those who are like thieves and robbers. They do not love the sheep. They're like the hireling. And when the wolf comes, or when the lion comes, the hireling runs, hides, protects himself, and leaves the sheep to the dangers of the oncoming wolf or lion. Save themselves, more interested in themselves, more interested in their position, more interested in their tradition, more interested in who they are and what they get out of all of this. These are not the true shepherds. Now, we have six things in front of us in this story. Six things. One, we have the true shepherd and the false shepherd. We have the sheep. We have the sheepfold. We have a door. And we have one who is the porter. And these are all in front of us in this story. So we need to understand who each one is and what it's all about. All right? So first of all, the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have guessed that one. All right? He has said it. I am the good shepherd. All right? Then the sheep are his people. And in particularly during this particular period of time when he was giving this discourse, the sheep were the people of Israel. The people of Israel. All right? The fold in which this sheep is operating is Israel. We have this in verse 16 where the Lord says, other sheep have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. But the idea here is the Lord said to the disciples, you remember when he sent them out two by two, do not go to the Gentiles, do not go to the Samaritans, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it's Israel we're talking about. In Matthew 15, a Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Heal my daughter. She is grievously vexed with a devil. And you remember what the Lord's answer was. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, confirming the sheep he's talking about here is Israel. And so who's the porter? Well, I believe that the porter was John the Baptist. He opened the door for the shepherd. As a matter of fact, he's the one who introduced the shepherd to everyone. He is the one that said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And then what would the door, what does the door represent here? When Jesus talks about the door, well, the door represents the way that the Messiah, the way Christ would come and what he would do to fulfill the promises to Israel that God had made. He's the door. He's the door. Now, there was no question in the minds of the Jews how the Messiah would come. You know, when Herod went to the scribes and leaders in Israel in Matthew chapter 2 and asked them where the son of David would be born, they knew the answer. They had it written in the scriptures, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And they knew where he was going to be born, Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. See, they knew where the Messiah would come from. They knew how this was all going to come out. And even so, one of the things, you know, we could multiply the passages right here, because there's so many of them in the Old Testament that foretell his coming and when and how and where. And the one thing that you'll find, the Jewish leaders never, ever, ever challenged the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his right to the throne. They couldn't. You know why? Because all they had to do was go to the temple archives and look at the lineage from David down, and guess who they end up with? Mary. They couldn't challenge it. But they could reject his claims, which is what they did. But he said, I am the only true shepherd. He is the one who calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What a glorious picture. Does he lead you today? Do you listen for his voice every morning? Do you wait to hear what he says about the day and where he's going to lead you and what's going to happen? Or do you get up in such a rush, grab your first cup of coffee and think that takes care of you and then you're on your way? No, you need to spend time. You need to listen in the morning, for the sheep listens for the voice of the shepherd who will call them out to the day and take them out to the pasture and feed them through the day and through the experiences they'll go through. The shepherd is there. He's waiting and he's calling. And I wonder if we hear him. Sometimes I think we're too busy. Sometimes I think we're too much involved with ourselves and our pains and our struggles and all the things that we go through, that we fail to miss, and we miss that call. We miss hearing his voice. But we need to listen, and we need to hear it, and we need to know that he is calling us out. So Jesus in this passage is the true shepherd, and he's going to call out his flock. The second one, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's not only a true shepherd, the true one, but he's the good shepherd. And that's in 7 verses 11. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God is going to begin to give us two things here as we study this. The first is his purpose, and the second is his program. All right? His purpose is to gather the flock, to gather all to him who will come, all who will hear his voice. He puts out the call. Let me tell you something. How does that work? Well, it works because he takes the church. At the very beginning, through his apostles, through his little smaller flock that he had, he got the message out. The call went out. The call went out. You remember, Peter preached and thousands were saved. Peter preached and thousands came to Christ. And then the thousands went out and lived and preached. And then more and more and more. And the message got out. The call of God got out. The call of the shepherd got out to the world. And the call is still going out to the world. But it's going out now, reverberating out through the churches who are faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ put upon the church. Reaching out, carrying the message. Are people hearing the call? Yes, there are still people hearing the call. People still coming to Christ? Absolutely, people are still coming to Christ. All around the world. Because the message and the sheep's voice is being heard. The shepherd's voice is being heard. And so we are responsible, you and I, to take that voice and get it out to those around us. So the first purpose is to gather out the flock. How can he gather a flock when they need life, when they need cleansing, when they need liberation? Well, in verse 9, you have the program. Are you in the program? I have a dear little old lady who calls me every now and then, who's struggling and needs a little help now and then, a helping hand, funds here and there. And she'll call me and she'll say, "Can I get on the program?" "Well, what program is that?" "Well, I need a little help. Do you have a program? Can I get on the program?" God has a program. And the program is to do exactly what the sheep need, which is they need life, they need cleansing, and they need liberation. That's his program. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That's the program. Come to Jesus, be saved, follow him, and he'll feed you. Pretty straightforward. Scripture says very straightforward. All right? He says it again. You know, what he's really declaring here is that he's the only one that can save. That's what he's saying. And he says it again in John 10:9. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures." All right? He is declaring here that he is the only one who can save. And that's why Peter then could say later on when he wrote these words, and or as he stood before the Sanhedrin actually in Acts and spoke it, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." There's only one. One true shepherd, one good shepherd. You can spend your life, all of it, running from God, denying God, rejecting God, living your life in any way that you want. But you're eating out of garbage cans. You're like the dear friend of mine who called herself a dumpster diver. She loved to go out and find things that she could find in the dumpster. And you go out there, sometimes all you see is her heels sticking up out of the dumpster. She called herself a dumpster diver. She got a lot of good stuff out of there, but it was castaway stuff. It was stuff people had thrown away. That's the way you are without Christ. That's the way you are without knowing his abundant life. That's the way you are without his salvation and his liberation. Because you can't feed on the fresh pastures that he offers until you come first through him. Remember, the Lord here is standing before the leaders. He's still there. He's still in front of their faces. He's still talking to them. The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, all of them, he's still there. And he's saying this, "I am claiming authority over the souls of men. If any man enter in," any man, "he is claiming authority over the salvation of men. He shall be saved. He is claiming authority over the liberation of men. And he shall go in and out. And he's claiming authority in sustenance, or for the sustenance of men. And they will find pasture." What a wonderful life God has given. It's abundant. It is overflowing. It is rich. It is powerful. And although it doesn't save you from the events of the day and all the things that go on in this broken world, it does give you peace, and it does give you joy, and it does give you the assurance that all is well because God is in control, and he is your Savior, and he is your Lord. What Jesus is saying is, "I'm not a hireling. I'm not like someone who's hired to do the job. But here, rather, is the manifestation of his love for the people. He is the door of the sheep, and anyone who enters into him has salvation, liberation, and sustenance." Now, there's plenty of pasture today for God's people. I want to talk about that just a moment. There's plenty of pasture. Did you know that? We go in and out of the scriptures, out of the Old Testament, into the New Testament, back to the Old Testament, and we find pasture all the time. More to feed on, more to feed on, more to feed on. There was a writer, author, a number of years ago by the name of Newell. He wrote a book on the book of Romans. And someone went to him and said to him, how many times have you taught the book of Romans? And he put it this way. He said, well, I've taught it now 35 times. I've taught the book of Romans. And every time I teach it, there are green pastures. That's what he said. Every time I teach it, there are green pastures. There's more to feed on. There's more to learn. There's more to grow with. You and I have the book in front of us. The more time we spend in here, if we studied it for 100 years, we would always find something new that would feed our souls, that feed our lives. You remember the book of Ruth? I like that as an example. The story of Boaz and Ruth. You remember Ruth went and was gleaning in Boaz's field. When Boaz found out about her, he said to her, stay by my maidens, do not go to another field. Now what he was saying to her was this in essence, there's abundant food right here for you. You don't need to go anywhere else. You don't need to go anywhere else. You do not need to leave this field. And if you study and feed on this book, the Bible, you and I, every day, for the rest of our lives, you would still find the pastures green. I've been studying it a lot of years now. I became a Christian when I was 15 years old. And in one way or another, I've been studying the Bible ever since. And I constantly find new truths, constantly find new food for feeding upon day by day. So what's his program? Well, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. How? Well, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's how. Now let's go to John 10, 10 and 11. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is saying, I am the shepherd. I'm the good one. And as the good shepherd, I manifest my goodness, my love, my care for the sheep by giving my life for them, that they might have abundant and overflowing life. I thought this was amazing. Because, you know, when I go back through the Old Testament, something changed. Something changed dramatically. Because in the Old Testament, as we go back there, we find out that the sheep died for the shepherd. You see? Jesus died for us that we might have divine life, eternal life, and in is the life has been talking about in chapters 4, 5, 6, and 8. It's what he's been talking about. And it starts in chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. Now, how can those who are dead in sins receive life? Well, I am the shepherd, the good one. I lay down my life. I give my life, he said. What for? That they might live. Yes. That we might have an overflowing, abundant, satisfying resurrection life. An indwelling life in union with God himself. That's the promise. That's the blessing. But again, something has changed. In Genesis 22, listen. You remember the story of Abraham? Willing to offer up his son, took him up on the mountain. And while he's up there on the mountain, God stopped him from doing what he was going to do. And what did he do? He gave him a ram caught in a thicket. And the ram died instead of the son. Well, that's just one example. What about Exodus 12? Here we have the Passover lamb. You see, the Jews slew a lamb, applied the blood, and then the death angel passed over. But the lamb died for the people. The Lamb died for the people. Now, all of this portrays Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. On the other side of it, the Lamb was always dying for the owner. The Lamb was always dying for the owner. But what we have here now, when we come to this picture, is the other way around. And that is, we have the amazing thing that the shepherd's dying for the sheep. It's reversed. God reversed it. And as the good shepherd, and as the true shepherd, he dies for the sheep instead of the sheep dying for him. However, let us carry that out to its fullest extent. There will come times and purposes in this world, in the lives of God's people, when they will die for him. They're happening all the time. We read it in the papers all the time. How many Christians are being killed around the world because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But it only could happen. It could only be there. And the grace could only be there for that moment, for that believer, because first the shepherd died for him. If the shepherd had not died, there would be no flock. If the shepherd had not died, there would be no life. There would be no abundant living. There would be no opportunity to die for him. But he did die for you and for me and for every one of his sheep. And he goes before us every day, leading us out into the pastures to learn, to grow, to become strong. He gives us the sustenance that we need. That's his promise, because he's the true shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this image that you give us through these words of your Son. Truly we understand, and truly by your Spirit we come to the acknowledgement that we can only have life through Christ. That this life that starts here, which is eternal, will last throughout eternity. Though this body die, yet my life will go on in the presence of my Lord and my Savior. But Father, help us understand that that's not so for those who do not know Christ. That their loss of life, the losing of their bodies, means eternal death and not life. So help us with the urgency of this message to get out the voice of the shepherd so that the sheep can hear his voice and turn and come and follow him, to go through his door and be saved and then go in and out and find pasture. Father, make these truths live in our hearts and in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.